All right, all right. Rat Pack Sports Show, we are back. We are live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, in the building Wednesday night, bringing you the best days in sports talk and entertainment. And we got AEW on the tubes. This is near the end of the show, but we got AEW on the tubes. And we got NBA on the tubes. We're going to have Nicholas Lane calling pretty quick. So and we're going to continue this show on. So we got the Lucha Brothers versus FTR. Oh, that's Friday on AEW Impact. Let's see, who is this? Ruby Soho, Tay Conti, and Anna Jay. That big lady, I think she was in WWE. So who's wrestling now? You know, I never get a chance to watch AEW on Fridays. I might have to check it out to see how it is. It's the same show. It's like, you know, WCW and with WCW Monday Nitro and then Thunder. You know, it's the same show. It's just different matches and stuff, but they stomping the mud hole in WWE. Oh, they're going to be in Orlando March 4th and March 5th. Then I haven't watched any of their pay-per-views. That's tonight? Oh, that's next Wednesday. Damn. She look old. But she did a real deal. You don't know how many of them gonna beat Sheeta. Oh, that's the big girl. You know, the women's wrestling, the women's division in WWE, or, you know, whatever, it's kind of weak compared to AEW, to be honest with you. It's kind of weak. They actually got women that, you know, can wrestle. You know, WWE, they women wrestlers go more for the glitz and the glamour look. They really can't wrestle. They just in the ring. You know, but AEW, WCW, always to me had better. WCW always had better women wrestlers because they actually could wrestle. They just didn't look good. They could wrestle. AEW going down the same road where they got actual women that can wrestle. And it look, you know, it's all entertainment. So the main thing is, does it look authentic? If it looks authentic, then people can believe it. It can be more entertaining. You know, the junk in WWE don't look authentic. What's going on here? Who is this? What the world happened? Is Julia Hart. Hold on, man. Let me rewind this. What did I miss? Let's rewind that a little bit. Oh, Malachi Black. Spray the face. Malachi, you know, I like his skill set as a wrestler. He kind of remind me of Vampiro and the Great Muta. Great Muta used to blow that mist in people's faces. Malachi Black. What is going on here? All right, so we're gonna go ahead and get this thing started with some NBA conversation. We got Rat Pack Sports Show NBA Insider on the air with us now, Mr. Nicholas Lane. What's going on, brother?
What is going on? It is good to be back here, and quite a bit going on in the league.
Yeah, man. A lot of action. On the court, there's some good action on the court. There's a lot of stuff happening, in between games. Front office movement. Lakers look like dog crap. I like it because, you can't buy a championship. I mean, they won one in the bubble, but I'm going to put an asterisk on the bubble because Miami made the finals in the bubble, but I feel like if they weren't in the bubble, they probably wouldn't have made the finals. So that was Miami's chance to win a championship. I don't think they'll ever get back, to that point. They do have a good team, though, but just not a championship game in the normal elements of an NBA arena.
Well, the honest truth, outside of LeBron, Westbrook, and Anthony Davis, they really just have Taylor Horton Tucker and a bunch of older big name guys that are either specialists or just not really that good anymore.
Yeah, and I was in a conversation with a buddy of mine at work, and his suggestion was that if he was Lakers management, he would have left Russell Westbrook in Washington and re-signed Rondo. And the team probably would have been better off, with a true point guard like Rondo, who's a court general on the court and a leader and a guy that's not afraid to, as I say, not afraid to stand up to LeBron, because Rondo played with KD. He played with, Ray Allen. He played with Paul Pierce. Those are all, NBA Hall of Fame, players. And even with those guys, Rondo's owned the court. He owned the locker room. He owned the court. He was just one of them dudes. Rondo is an alpha dog that I think, teams need guys like him, because when things are not going well, you need a point guard to settle things down. You need a point guard to set up the offense. And you need somebody on the team that's going to speak up and say, hey, let's step it up. And to me, I just feel like, we can sit here and say Lakers management, but we know they building this team around what LeBron like. So for me, I look at it as the team they have is the team that they wanted based on what LeBron wanted. because they had talent on this team. We spoke about this last week. They had a ton of talent on this team. And they all got traded away for some old farts. Well,
one of the better talents they had that's turned out to have a fantastic season to start so far is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's been an afterthought the last few seasons in L.A., and yep. All of a sudden he's playing really good ball for the Washington Wizards. Kuzma had a nice he scored over 20 tonight versus the Pistons. They're going to overtime. Harrell's had his moments, but I think Harrell's a little overrated. He's pretty flawed. I'm not a huge Harrell guy,
yeah.
But I think Kuzma in a bigger role I think he's been pretty good. Obviously he's had some bad games, but at the end of the day, I think so far Kyle Kuzma's played a lot better than he has when he was on the Lakers.
Yeah, and again, folks, this is not anything new that I'm saying personally, but I watch the game and I see how different players play, you know, with LeBron and without LeBron. And you see how players play before playing with LeBron, then you see how players play with LeBron, and then you see how players play after they leave LeBron. Not taking nothing away from what LeBron is as a basketball player, but I think, greats, the true greats, elevate the game of the guys around them. And to me, he's a great player for this for our time, our generation, but he's not that type of player to me that elevates the game of everybody around him, because it's too many guys that he's played with where you see a drastic change in their game, not just a little bit. You see a drastic change in their game when they leave and go somewhere else after playing with LeBron. And then you see what these guys, you know, like Kevin Love. We saw what Kevin Love, the type of basketball player he was before going to Cleveland and playing with LeBron. When he got into Cleveland with LeBron, Kevin Love became just another dude. When he was on the Minnesota Timberwolves and he was by himself and there wasn't nobody else but him, he was dominant as a basketball player. So people thought him going to Cleveland would be a good thing. You know, it'd give LeBron another option, another NBA superstar. That's the status of what Kevin Love was before, in Minnesota, before he went to Cleveland. And once he got to Cleveland, he was just Kevin Love. What happened? That's what a lot of people were saying. And he never regained that stature as a basketball player after LeBron left. Obviously, you know, he was later on in his career, but nobody, you know, there's too many examples. You got Jordan Clarkson, Kevin Love, Kuzma, you just spoke about Kuzma, Kentavious Pope.
Look at Lonzo Ball.
Yes, Lonzo Ball. And I'm gonna go on record for another player, and he is currently playing with him, Anthony Davis. He is not the same basketball player he was in New Orleans. Not even close.
So. I don't think he is as dominant as he was in New Orleans. I feel like he wants to take some nights off, or he takes possessions off. Where in New Orleans, you know, they needed him every night. And maybe for the Lakers, he turns it on when he wants to. I mean, in the bubble, he was very dominant.
Yeah, he was good in the bubble. Yeah, he was one of the main reasons why they wanted it in the bubble. I would say if it wasn't for the AD, the Lakers don't win it in the bubble. He carried that team.
I agree with you. The point of I think you make a great point about how certain players are great with LeBron and afterwards, or they're not the same. And the example of Harrell, KCP, and Kuzma, all three of them, is that when you put Kuzma's role was to come off the bench and just score, but he didn't get enough minutes.
Yep.
And KCP was a starter. He was the quote unquote, he's the cardio guy. He could be in the corner. He might get some steals. He's not going to get many rebounds. He's got to score consistently every night. But on Washington, they actually need him. Yep. They actually need him to score. They need him to produce. And look, he has been. He has been playing actually really nice. So the dynamic of trading those players for Westbrook, and you could have just re-signed Schroeder, you could have re-signed Rondo, yep. and you would have had your team. But the thing is, those players, with the roles that they were going to have on the Lakers, obviously wasn't meshing with LeBron and Davis. And so they felt that putting Westbrook out there was better. And, outside of a rough start, I think actually Westbrook's played pretty good for the Lakers. I don't think he's actually played bad at all. The thing is that when you have a second unit that is like, Avery Bradley and Malik Monk and, sometimes DeAndre Jordan, Kent Bazemore.
Yeah.
There's just nothing that is exciting that pops off. I mean, yeah, Monk has had a couple of nice games in the last 2 weeks, I would say. But, they're starting Avery Bradley, and it's getting close to where how does Avery Bradley even get minutes in the NBA anymore is pretty astonishing to me how bad I think he really is. So at the end of the day, I think the Lakers' depth and the way that they decided to construct this roster is going to be their downfall. It's going to be a downfall of theirs later on down the road. They got their three big horses, and I think Taylor Horton Tucker's a nice player, but outside of those four guys, they don't really have dependable scorers where if they would have kept those five players, then they could at least lift your second unit up and also potentially blow the game open while LeBron can be on the bench, compared to LeBron and Davis will probably have to log longer minutes with Westbrook out there. So I think that's the difference, because if you put LeBron, AD, and Westbrook on the bench and you're trying to run an offense with the other guys out there, it's pretty brutal. So I would say they traded their depth and their ability to give LeBron less minutes for to have LeBron have to play more. I don't think that's a good recipe.
Yeah, and I've been in this discussion for quite a bit, about, LeBron, and every time I bring this up to people think I'm trying to take away from what LeBron has been as a basketball player, but I'm just going by, what I see from players that I know was good players at one point, and then they get to LeBron and they become guys that just stand around and watch him. And that's not good. Number one, it's not good basketball. It's not good basketball. It's not a good offense on any level. And we talking about the pros. And these guys can play. That's why they made it there. So when they have to go to a team and become just statues, pretty much, while you sit, stand around, you watch somebody dribble the ball around for 15 seconds, and then maybe you get a kick out and have to put up a shot late in the shot clock, and then if you don't miss it, you don't never find your rhythm, all of a sudden, you getting blamed for the team not being good, and it's like, I'm just playing a role. So,
actually,
and then these guys leave and they go to other teams, and all of a sudden you're like, well, why couldn't you do that in LA, or why couldn't you do that in Cleveland? Look, what you mean? I don't have the opportunities to do anything. Some players just don't do well in those type of roles. And yeah, as a basketball player, you know, you're a point forward, or you know, or a point guard. Your job is to distribute, you know, get guys in the game, run the offense. But when you want to be the point guard and a scorer, and then you got guys that can actually make plays and do things, they all of a sudden they become statues where they're just standing around and watching you. That's a recipe for disaster.
It is. And it doesn't seem like, you know, because what are the Lakers gonna do out on the trade market? They don't have any first round picks.
They don't have nothing.
And they have a bunch of guys on 1 year deals.
Yep.
They just don't have much. So they can't go out on the trade deadline. They have to go sign like Milwaukee did to sign DeMarcus Cousins that can't jump anymore. So
yeah, how do you think in you know, I agree with you on that statement. The Lakers are in trouble. They traded away all their picks. They've traded away all their talent. And pretty soon they're going to be left with a bare cover, just like Cleveland. Luckily enough for Miami, Pat Riley was smart. You know what I'm saying? He kept out of bio. Yeah. He didn't cater to LeBron. He did what was best for the franchise. You know, if Eric Spoelstra was anywhere else, you know, he might have not made it all those years under LeBron, because the ownership would have catered to LeBron. But you got Pat Riley. He's been around the block a little bit, and he understands how, you know, building the team. You got to build your team for today and tomorrow. And so key guys that he had under LeBron, he held on to those guys and also drafted well. And he brought in the right, you know, players as far as free agents to, you know, when LeBron left, they went through a little phase where they weren't great, but they rebuilt. And now,
you know, I would say they weren't great, but they weren't bad.
They weren't bad either, exactly.
They had a 14 or 15 game winning streak. They still didn't make the playoffs, but there was a couple years back that, you know, they had Deion Waiters and they had James Johnson, Tyler Johnson, Goran Dragic. I mean, they had some guys, and at that time it was the right mix and it worked.
Yeah.
And it kind of catapulted them to be able to go out and trade for Jimmy Butler like they did when Jimmy Butler it wasn't working in Philly for them. They were able to develop a Josh Richardson to put him in a Jimmy Butler deal. I mean, there was this thing that they were able to make work. Look, it's been 5 years since LeBron has left Cleveland, or 4 years, and with Cleveland's win tonight versus Chicago, they're 14-12, and they're actually looking pretty good. You know, I was saying that going into the year, the Cavs, I thought, were the most confusing team because they had four power forward / center players, and they just drafted a top five pick in Evan Mobley, who, it's hard to deny, he's the rookie of the year so far. It's not even close. He has played just absolutely amazing. He has season high 5 blocks tonight as well, too, by the way. So him and Rudy Gobert are the top two players in the league that contest shots around the rim. That tells you how good Evan Mobley has been as a shot blocker this season. So, but the point is, and obviously that you've made it too, is that when LeBron leaves, the cupboard is bare. And it's been really bad for Cleveland. They finally have, like, a pretty respectable team now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, I'm just pointing out things, you know, if everybody listens to this show long enough, y'all know how I feel about LeBron James as a basketball player. When people are trying to compare him to Michael Jordan or some of the greats, because in my mind personally, I can pick 5 players in my top 5, maybe even 10, before I pick LeBron James. I'm just looking at skill set, not you know, error versus error, but I'm just looking at, you know, skill set, fundamental basketball. And I can pick a bunch of guys that'll give me more, or, you know, be better, or which, you know, which I think is better. And there's one player that nobody talks about, but when you watch, you know, highlights of his career, you go back, people forget how great of a basketball player Larry Bird was before the back injury. This dude was a menace, like unstoppable. Wasn't the greatest athlete, but just a fundamentally sound, destructive basketball player on the court that could do everything. Rebound, passing, underrated as a passer. Basketball IQ through the roof, you know, excellent shooter, played defense, you know, got beat up, he was a tough basketball player. And I tell people all the time, I'll take Bird over LeBron, because crunch time, I know Bird gonna come through, and I know Bird gonna make the guys around him, you know, better basketball players just because of the type of, you know, basketball player he is. But, you know, for our generation, our time, I was part of the Michael Jordan generation too, so, but for this era of basketball, you know, LeBron James is the guy. He's the guy. And, you know, I'll give that to him. But as far as making the team better, improving players' game, I just haven't seen it enough, you know, during the course of his career. And I'm tired of the argument of people saying that he ain't played with nobody. When I can physically go and look statistically, his supporting cast compared to some of the supporting cast that Michael Jordan had, when you talk about accolades that players have accrued in their career, this man has played with great players. He's played with Hall of Fame players. He's played with, great six men. I mean, he has played with so many players that it's not even funny, but yet the argument is he lead teams with nobody to the playoffs, and then once he leaves, those teams becomes garbage. And it's like, you're not looking at the whole picture.
I would say the argument that he didn't play with anybody, his first 7 years, I think that's actually really true.
Yeah.
I mean, his best player was what? Is it Drunas Ilgauskas? I mean, Larry Hughes?
Yeah, I was about to say Larry Hughes.
I was going to say, at the time, Antoine Jameson, that deal was a terrible situation. That didn't work out with putting him and LeBron together at the time. But, you know, he didn't really – that's true. He really did not play with anybody. Hence why he left for Miami to obviously play with Bosch and Wade and a lot of good veterans at the time. And then obviously he goes to Cleveland with Kyrie, Kevin Love. Tristan Thompson becomes really excellent. J.R. Smith had his moments. They won a title there. Obviously he goes to the Lakers. He has Ball, Ingram, Josh Hart, but they don't really have much. They make the Davis trade, and all of a sudden they win a title. I mean, that's – at the end of the day, I think for a portion – like a third of his career, that is correct.
Yeah.
He didn't really play with much. But obviously two-thirds of your career is more than one-third, and you have had the Kyrie, the Kevin Love, the Wade and Bosch, and you have had – now, actually, Brandon Ingram has become an all-star. Lonzo Ball has done terrific for Chicago. And they could have blossomed with LeBron if that were the case. You know, Julius Randle would have been on the Lakers or close to in that time frame. Or if they would have kept Julius Randle, they could have actually been a really good team. If you put those four together, you might not have Anthony Davis and Westbrook, but
you wouldn't need them at that point.
You would have young talent, plus then you would have the mix of veterans coming off the bench. You see how Brandon Ingram can run an offense. You can see how Lonzo Ball can be, you know, a second or third best player on a really good team that he is. And Julius Randle is the best player on the Knicks. So there's many different paths in the NBA, and I'm going to pivot into the next team that I'm going to talk about. That last Thursday was the most embarrassing loss in NBA history. It's the biggest loss in NBA history, where people are like, they should get moved. They should have draft picks stripped away. They're a disgrace of the franchise. Sam Presti should be fired. But yet no one talks about how the Thunder actually have a better record than three teams in the league, believe it or not. The Rockets, the Magic, and the Pistons, who they beat on Monday. They also didn't have their two best players, and that is Josh Giddey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for that game last Thursday versus the Grizzlies. And look, they came back, they played on Monday, and they beat the Pistons. So they actually came back from a pretty good deficit. I watched almost all of that game because I was too busy watching the Patriots-Bills for me to advance in my playoffs in fantasy football. But, you know, I was switching back because obviously I don't get to watch the Thunder too often.
Yeah.
But for people to say that they should be moved, they should be stripped of draft picks, it's a disgrace of a franchise. Presti has had all these players, but he's never won a title. He should be fired. You know what? Go look and see what's going on in the disaster that we predicted before the season in Portland. How bad of a situation that is. It is one of the worst situations in the league right now. And, yeah, they had Lillard. Yeah, they had McCollum. But, honestly, McCollum has a collapsed – he got diagnosed with a collapsed lung yesterday.
Oh, really?
He's going to be out till probably the new year at least. Damian Lillard, abdominal injury that he has refused to have surgery. It got worse during the Olympics. And now the Blazers are in a situation to where if they are losing and they don't have a lot of their guys out there, Lillard just might have to bag the season and go have surgery. That's a really big possibility. Nurkic is not happy. The players are not happy with Billups. The front office is a complete disaster. They had to get rid of their general manager because he created a toxic work environment for many years.
Yep.
So if people want to go and point fingers at OKC, go point fingers at what's going on in Portland. It's bad. They are in a bad situation. And I'm a little defensive about OKC only because I do think they're building their organization from top to bottom the right way.
And I
think the Magic are too. I do believe that. John Hammond's their general manager. I think the Magic are doing good things. Yeah, they don't have a good record. Yeah, Jalen Suggs is going to be out for another 4 weeks with his thumb injury. But look how good Mohamed Bamba has been playing. He has been playing really good for them. Jalen Suggs was okay for them to start the season, but RJ Hampton, when he's gotten his opportunities, he's been playing good. And this is without their best player, Jonathan Isaac. He hasn't played since the bubble. So,
he's still out.
Or just after the bubble, I believe. But
yeah, because he tore his ACL, right?
And 16 months ago he did.
Wow.
So there's. What's weird is obviously ACL is around that 10 to 12 months is kind of the new timeline for that. But it's been 16 months, and I know that you can scour the internet just as good as I can, and I don't have a single update to tell you about what Jonathan Isaac, you know, his timeline is like. So that part's a little confusing. But back to the Thunder. The Thunder, they've had Durant, Harden, Westbrook, Ibaka. They've had left, you know, they've had Paul George, and they have no titles to speak of. That's true. But they also had Durant that left them high and dry. Westbrook was, it was time for Westbrook to leave. Harden, that was a management decision based on money, and the cap was completely different back then. Not an excuse, because the Harden thing, you know, is a sore subject, but at the end of the day, it was something that bit him in the butt. I mean, but you get a Harden trade. You know, they didn't have to give up much to get Oladipo and Sabonis. You turn those into Paul George, and you turn Paul George into your entire future. Yeah. So one bad situation, you can't knock it when you make four to five good, really good decisions at the end of the day. I mean, we called it. Kemba Walker is kind of washed up.
Oh, yeah.
And look, the Knicks put him out of the rotation.
Yep.
So for them to take on an Al Horford deal, to take on a Kemba Walker deal to get extra picks, is the right thing to do if you are completely rebuilding your franchise. They're making the right moves. You know, I was wrong on Josh Giddey. I could be wrong here too. And Josh Giddey is really good. I think he's underrated. He doesn't get talked about a lot as a rookie. He does start. He is an unbelievable passer. Will need to work on the shot, but at the same time, he can set up guys just as good as Gilgeous Alexander has turned into that player. And you can almost say that Gilgeous Alexander and Paul George are almost as equal talent-wise. Yeah, George might be taller and he gets more steals on average, but Gilgeous Alexander can run an offense just like Paul George. He can hit the three. He gets high free throw attempts. I'm sorry, but he doesn't have the all-star accolades and the all-NBAs. I get that. But at the end of the day, right now, Paul George and Gilgeous Alexander can be very comparable to what they do on the court for each other's teams.
Yeah, I'm looking at some stuff here. Only thing that I'm seeing on Isaac is they're saying he's progressing. But I mean, that's about it. I don't see anything else. They say he's building. He's, you know, he's continuing to, you know, get stronger, and that's about it, bro. I mean, normally, maybe they're being extra cautious about him because, you know, he is part of their future plans, so they don't want to rush it. But, I mean, like you said, we're at, what, 16 months? Unless he has some type of setback during the rehab, it shouldn't take 16 months. So, in his last game, like you said, it was I just saw it. August 2nd, 2020. We're almost in 2022. He hasn't made it back yet.
No, he hasn't. And, I mean, it is concerning, but at the same time, nobody knows anything right now. So you just got to wait and see what's going to happen. So I just think that people should just really, you know, pump the brakes on the Thunder. They're going to be bad. They're not going to be that great. I think their bench, I watched a lot of that Monday game, and there's some players that in 2 years, they're not going to be in the league 100%. Yeah. But there's a few guys that I think will develop and will be pretty good. I think Jeremiah Robinson Earl as a second round pick will have a role as it's a dude that screens and rolls, decent rebounder, as a decent glue guy. I think Alexei Pokuševski will be out of the league in a few years. I think his talent is pretty good, but the dude just, he has a Frankenstein-looking body. He has decent talent, but the guy is not a good shooter. His body, I don't know. I think the guy needs to gain at least 20 pounds and then figure out some muscle on top of that. It's how frail he is at 7 feet tall. So, yeah, he might be 20 years old, but at the end of the day, I mean, the Thunder, I think, should look at after the end of next season, they got to say, all right, we've given this guy 3 years. He's not good. We need to get out of this. And,
well, yeah, and
you know, that's trial and error.
Yeah, and just look at it like this, man. You know, they want the Thunder to, you know, fire the front office and do all this different stuff because they had a bad loss. But Thunder got 8 wins. They're 8-16. The Lakers got 13 wins. That's only a 5-game difference. I mean,
and the Thunder beat the Lakers twice this year.
Yeah. And, you know, you got the Mavericks with 11 wins, the Nuggets under 500, the Timberwolves, you know, another young rebuilding organization, 11-13, and then Portland is 11-14. I mean, L.A. Clippers and the Lakers only got 13. They 13-12. They're OKC, 8-16 with a rebuilt roster. So –
rebuilding roster. Their second unit is a dumpster fire. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But
so
at the end of the day, they are in 100% better shape than a team like the Blazers.
Yep.
They got Lillard that will be looking for an extension off of his deal. They got McCollum, who the Sixers have publicly said they're not interested in a McCollum for Ben Simmons deal. They're obviously interested in the Lillard deal. But Lillard wants to play with a defensive-minded guy. Sorry, if they don't want McCollum, then
no.
You're not going to get Ben Simmons with you. So, I mean, the Blazers have kind of put themselves in a corner. They do have some good young talent. I think Anthony Simons, we can all say, has taken on a bigger role, and he has done pretty well with it before this little ankle injury he has right now. I think the Robert Covington situation is a disaster. I think Nurkic is a disaster. Larry Nance has been okay, but he's not that good of a player, night in and night out.
Yeah.
Their drafting has been absolutely atrocious recently, too. And Norman Powell is just not the same player where Gary Trent played excellent this year. So that Trent for Powell swap hasn't really worked out that great either, too. And you've got yourself a rookie head coach, as we said, put in a tough situation to start the season. I feel like Mike D'Antoni would have been a much better coach for the offense. Players would have been happier. I think the ball would have been moved more. I feel that, yeah, Lillard was always going to probably have this injury because it's been lingering. But I do think the team would have been a better spot with D'Antoni as coach compared to Chauncey Billups. It's just a disaster. And Neil Shea at his introductory press conference about Billups' past just said we just conducted our background and took a swig of water and just went on to the next question. And I feel that O'Shea has a lot to blame with what's going on here.
Yeah, you know, you have to when you're the guy making the decisions and things just haven't worked out. You definitely have to, point some blame his way because, you know, he's making the decisions.
I feel like you're obviously making the decisions of, you know, swapping Gary Trent Jr. for Norman Powell. You're making, you know, you're shipping a first-round pick for Robert Covington that never has worked out. And you're drafting, you're selling cash to buy a second-round pick because you have no draft picks. You can't develop guys. You have a backcourt that just doesn't work. It hasn't worked for years. They've just kept it together. And they have seen the same results over and over again. Their defense is a mess. And it sounds like they're not getting along in the locker room very well either. This is going to be a bad season for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, and you mentioned something about weight earlier. And it, you know, a red light went off in my head, and I wanted to ask you this question. What is going on with Zion?
You know, I feel like the Pelican season is just about as disastrous as the Blazers. Zion, he practiced the other day and was feeling pain in his foot, even being out for so long. He is overweight. He's not conditioned. He is not close to game shape. And he's going to want more minutes, even though the Pelicans are going to limit him, I believe, under 20 minutes a night when he's going to come back. And he's going to want more. Then he's going to be upset with the organization. And I don't know what to think. I want to say this is going to end badly. I do want to give it a little bit more time if it can be turned around. But if Zion just holds the whole, I'm going to show up overweight, I'm going to complain, and really turn it into a compounding disaster, this can set the Pelicans back to the Stone Ages, in my opinion, of how this could look.
Yeah, it's definitely not looking good, man. And, you know, it's been reports out that he's, you know, having issues maintaining his weight. You see some of the pictures, and he definitely looks, you know, bigger than normal. And, you know, he's always had a little bit of chubbiness anyway. But, you know, he's definitely looking like he's not, you know, really taking that good of care of himself to stay in shape, especially when you're having foot problems and stuff like that. The last thing you need, you want to be is overweight or too heavy, and you already dealing with, you know, foot issues. That's not going to help the situation.
Well, outside of Brandon Ingram and Jonas Valanciunas, this roster is a complete disaster. And if you don't have Zion out there playing each night or in good enough shape or actually committing to want to be there, I do not want to be a Pelicans fan. That's all I'm going to say. I would feel sorry for anybody who's going to be a Pelicans fan at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you know, weird situation. Didn't Zion have his procedure late, just before they reported to training camp, or was that somebody else?
I believe that was Zion. I want to say it was, because I think that these are all moves deliberately trying to get himself out of town. But you do want to give the situation maybe a little bit more time, and hopefully that's not the case. But it's not looking good. It is not looking good in New Orleans. And at some point, Zion's going to have to either get his act together, cut some weight, get out there and start playing, or this is gonna go down south really fast.
Yeah, that, you know, that'll suck for New Orleans, because obviously, you know, they had a lot of plans for him. And, you know, he's supposed to be the guy leading them forward, you know, for their franchise. So if that don't happen, then, you know, they're right back, you know, at the table as well.
Yeah, they're right back at the bottom of the league and will stay there for a while, because at some point, you know, they're going to trade Valanciunas because he's an older veteran that should go somewhere else. And then you're just left with Brandon Ingram, maybe Devontae Graham. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I think, does have some talent, but the dude can't shoot, and he's getting too many shot attempts for a guy that's just bricking a lot of shots. I just don't know. I think this is a really tough situation in New Orleans, and it just doesn't seem like it's getting better. And yet another situation that's not as bad as the Thunder. And you know, you got people saying the Thunder should be in Seattle again, moving to Seattle. Yeah. All right. You see how that's going to happen. Yeah. That's not. So, it's pretty baffling to me about just overreacting. Obviously, the one loss, but you know, it is what it is, and I feel like there's worse situations out there. But on a positive note, the Golden State Warriors are just rolling.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is only 16, 17 threes away from the all-time record from Ray Allen. And they look like the old Warriors of everybody handles the ball. Steph Curry is jumping around and big smiles on his face, and he is chucking threes at a great rate. They're playing excellent defense, and they are just steamrolling teams right now. And I don't think they're looking back at the moment.
No, I don't think so either, man. But I had one more question. I forgot. Let me scroll down and see. Milwaukee Bucks, Boogie Cousins going to Milwaukee. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, they don't have Brook Lopez for an unforeseeable amount of time. Brook Lopez only played the season opener, and then now he had to have some back surgery, just like Michael Porter Jr. in Denver. And they had to find somebody, and they felt that DeMarcus Cousins was able to have something left in the tank to be able to play, you know, play 17 to 18 minutes a night. And I don't think he's played great since he's been back, but I do think that he's at least still serviceable enough in order to get them through a rough patch with only having Bobby Portis, and that's about it for a big man in Milwaukee. So I understand the signing. I don't think that Cousins has a lot left in the tank, but I think he has enough to probably get through the season. That's about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And, you know, I just find it a little interesting that they signed him. I wasn't even thinking about him, playing this year. But, he's not been the same player since having that Achilles surgery. So, team.
Not at all. It was a big shame because Boogie was a top 10 player in the league at that point. I felt how good he was playing. That's how good he was. He was just a completely dominant player. I remember I watched him a couple of years ago. They played in Portland opening night, and I went with my friend and his wife and his grandfather. They had the great tickets right, you know, middle court, 7-8 rows up, and Boogie was on New Orleans. There was no Anthony Davis because he was out with an injury at that point to start the season. And Boogie went off for almost 40 points and just hitting threes. He was dominating the post. He was getting steals, obviously dominating the glass. The dude was able, he could run the entire offense through him at that time. The dude was able to do everything. And it's a real shame that, especially in today's NBA, that he really doesn't have a place anymore. It's kind of sad to see it.
Yeah.
He can barely stay on the floor. He can't run. He's not very mobile anymore. Can't jump. It's tough to see it.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you, brother. And that's why I asked the question, because I knew you would come through. But as always, man. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, COVID's really hitting the league pretty good. Health and safety protocols is a real quick thing. It's like LeBron misses one game, has all these tests. When it could have been, obviously it was a false positive, but you know, guys like LaMelo and DeMar DeRozan, like, how can they not produce as many rapid tests and then get back on the court like LeBron did? Like, maybe that's just the difference, that they had COVID, that they actually have COVID. But, you know, the health and safety protocols is an interesting deal, because if you're fully vaccinated, you can have 2 negative tests and get back out there when you apparently just had it, compared to a player who's unvaccinated or that can't play, or you know, obviously can't play in certain cities. Obviously, Kyrie is the best example.
Yeah.
And it came out today that if you go to Toronto and you're not vaccinated, you can't go to Canada. So this whole thing is just really strange. And for all of us, I think this phase of what we're going through as a country, it just needs to be over. And if it can be over, the sooner the better. Get everybody back to playing. And at least, I mean, as much as I'm not the biggest Kyrie fan, just it'd be nice to see him out there.
Yeah, it would. It definitely would, man. Would definitely.
I got my Anthony Bennett All-Star eye still. Uh-oh. On a player who was on the list this last year. Davis Bertans is absolutely horrendous bad this year. He's looking like the Chandler Parsons of this year. It is rough.
He played
3 minutes. He played 3 minutes his last game and had to leave with a stomach virus.
What?
The dude makes over $25 million a year, around that $25 million mark. It's unbelievable how bad it is for him.
Dang. That's funny. Well, brother.
All right. thank you for having me on. You know, my Anthony Bennett radar binoculars is always out there, and I got to at least point it out when it's out there. And it's really bad for Bertans. But I'll be on the next time I'm able to come on. I'll be looking forward to it, and I'll be in group chat saying things about the NBA when it comes up too.
All right, brother. As always, man, you know, appreciate you calling in. I know the schedule is busy, so, hey, whenever you can get in, you know the door is always open. And you just call in, let us know when you're coming in, and, hey, we'll be, you know, expect you to come on as always and provide us with some great conversation on the NBA, man. So, appreciate you calling in, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that was, y'all know him, Nicholas Lane, Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider. And I'm going to go on record right now to say that I would challenge anybody out there, if you got somebody better, I want to know. Matter of fact, if you got somebody better than anybody that we bring on the Rat Pack, I want to know. You got anybody better than Nicholas Lane? You got anybody better than Boss Hogg? Probably not. I might be going a little bit, you know, too far. Maybe my ego is taking over right now, because I know I got two of the best to talk NBA. And then when it comes to, you know, NFL, same thing. And hey, we don't watch soccer, but I'm pretty sure we can talk some good sports. I just put it like that. Rat Pack Sports Show can talk some good sports, folks. We don't even have 3% of the sources that the sports media have. We just figure stuff out. you know, a little bit of common sense goes a long way in the world of sports. Matter of fact, it goes a long way in the, in life. So, you just call digging a little bit, doing some homework, knowing what you're talking about, and that's what we do. So, as always, appreciate Nicholas Lane, you know, for coming on the show, and I'm pretty sure we'll hear from him in, you know, in a few weeks. It's just not a weekly, you know, segment anymore like it was before. You know, schedule gets busy, schedule changes. So we appreciate any time we could get him on the air.